In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and it is a wonderful feast for myself because I'm a Franciscan, but I think it is a wonderful feast for the entire church because St. Francis really embodies what it means to be a Catholic. And we often read the lives of the saints, and particularly that of St. Francis of Assisi, and we think these people are just a little bit off the wall here. They are not quite with it. For look at this man, St. Francis, if you've read anything about his life. He takes off all his clothes in front of the judge because he left his father and was squandering his father's money, his wealth. His father took him to the judge, and there before the bishop, who was the judge, the father is making his claim against his son. He's squandering all my possessions, all that I've given him. He just throws it away. And St. Francis takes off all his clothes, and he gives them back to his father. He says, I want nothing from you. I no longer call you my father, but I have only a father in heaven. And the bishop is forced to take his own cloak off and cover up St. Francis's nakedness. There must be something not right with such a man. He needs to be institutionalized or something. Because we just don't understand it. And what I would like to do today is perhaps to try and help us understand this. For God has told us in today's gospel that he reveals things to the simple, to the humble, to the children. And these very important things are hidden from the wise. And I think all too often we think of ourselves as wise, and that's why we can't understand these simple, plain truths. If I were to ask these children, have you ever wanted something so bad that you were willing to do something for it? I know most children don't have to do anything to get what they want except ask for it. Mommy and daddy are too eager to give them anything they want, everything they want to make them happy. But hopefully there's some parents out there that will still make a child not only ask, but to do something to obtain that which they want. You want nice toy or something? Have you ever... Noah. Hey, Noah. Hey, I'm talking. Means you have to be quiet, unless I call on you. Now, Noah, have you ever wanted something so bad you were willing to do something for it? You promised your mom, I'll clean my room, I'll sweep the floor, I'll do this, just give me what I want. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad your mom makes you do some things. And we're all in that. We're all in that situation. We see something we want and we're willing to make sacrifices. I'll give this up or I'll do that so I can get what I want. And that's not just something children do. When you get older, you're going to do that too. You might just see a young girl and you'll say, oh, I'll do anything if she'll only be my wife. And you'll even stand before an altar of God, perhaps, and say, God, I promise to love her for better, for worse, richer, poorer, in sickness and in health. No matter what, I promise I will love her. And you're willing to make that sacrifice because you really want her. I can say the same for girls. They make the same promise. I promise God that I will love him. Better or worse, and richer and poorer, and sickness and health, until death do us part. I'm willing to make any kind of sacrifices to get this person that I want, so that this person will be mine. And I don't care what it costs. And they even go so far, I'm willing to accept all the children that God will give me, and I'm going to take care of them. It's all included in the package bargain. And I'm agreeing to all that. Even things I don't even know what might happen. And very often I think young people have no idea just how bad it can get. And they make these promises without really stopping and thinking. But the point I want to make is, whenever we want something, we see something good, if we're really desirous of it, we're willing to sacrifice something else. We're willing to give up our hard-earned money to buy it. We're willing to give up our time to work for it. We're willing to sacrifice anything and often everything just to get this one thing. Do you think that's foolish? We look upon that and say, well, no, that's not foolish at all. So I ask, why do we think St. Francis is foolish? St. Francis saw something he wanted. He caught a glimpse of heaven. He saw God. I want that. I want God. I want heaven. And I'll do anything to get it. And he picks up the gospel. What must I do to get it? And the gospel, our Lord, is very clear. If you want to be perfect? St. Francis says, yeah, I want to be perfect. I want to go to heaven. Well, the gospel says, if you will be perfect, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And St. Francis says, okay. Everything his father had given him, he gave it away. He sold and gave the money away. He wanted nothing because he saw very clearly, I want heaven. I don't care what it costs me. I'm willing to sacrifice it all. I don't need my father's money. I don't need my father's clothes. I don't need anything from my father anymore. I don't need anything of this world. God is my father. I trust in him. He's taking care of me. I give myself completely to him. And if God wants me to eat, I'll find something to eat. If God wishes me to suffer hunger, then I accept that too. I will go through this world hungry. If God wants to clothe me, he will give me these beggar's garments. And so St. Francis, though he appeared to be a fool in the eyes of the world, because he turned his back on the world, he wasn't interested in money. He wasn't interested in a fine house. He wasn't interested in fine clothing. His only interest was God. And he's willing to sacrifice everything for it. I don't care what it costs. I only want God. I want to be with him. I only want to be in heaven. Nothing else matters. If he had such determination in the world, we would say, oh, he's a wise man, a very smart man, a very prudent man. For that's what we say about the rich and the successful in this world. Well, St. Francis wasn't interested in this world. His love was someplace higher, someplace different. And so he became, as we read of St. Paul in today's epistle, he became crucified to this world, and this world became crucified to him. He dies to this world so that he might live for God. And he considers this world to be dead. And this world considers him to be dead. The ways of God and the ways of the world are opposed one to the other. And rather than thinking of St. Francis as a fool, he even referred to himself as a fool for Christ. For the world laughed at him, mocked him, because he went around in a beggar's clothing. He turned his back upon the riches and wealth that his father could give him. They considered him a fool. And St. Francis would laugh with them, yes, I'm a fool, but I'm a fool for Christ. And I read these things of the life of St. Francis and I look back and ask, who is the real fool? It's the people in the world that are the fools. St. Francis is a wise man. For we're fools when we think that we can be happy in this world, that something in this life is going to make us happy and to satisfy us. If we'll just open our eyes up to the advertisements, we'll see what fools we really are. Buy this product and you will be happy. 2 weeks later, oh, that product is old and outdated. You need to buy this new product and it will be happy. This one will satisfy you. And our entire lives are on this treadmill of always looking for this next thing that's going to satisfy us, that's going to make us happy. But there's no limit to it. It never ends. The glutton never says, I've had enough. The greedy man, the avaricious, it doesn't matter how much money he's got piled up, how much gold is sitting in his vaults. He always wants more. He's never content. Father Gru refers to the man who seeks pleasure. He said, such a passionate man, he's looking for all this perfection. He said, a fold in the leaf of the rose is enough to torment this voluptuous man. See, most of us, we would look at a rose and we would say, how beautiful. But the voluptuous man, he wants it to be perfect. That fold in the leaf, it just torments him. He can't stand it. The rose is defective. He can find fault in the most beautiful things, in the most perfect things. He's never content. He never has enough. And it's the same no matter with whatever we set our hearts on in this world. It's never enough. We always want more. And St. Augustine, I think, nailed it on the head when he says at the beginning of his Confessions, our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in Thee. St. Francis was like, or I should say St. Augustine was like St. Excuse me, got that backwards. St. Francis was like St. Augustine. He searched through the world looking for happiness. He tried in partying with all his friends when he had his father's wealth to spend. And there was always a void. There's something missing. He was looking for something better, something greater. And he only found it when he turned to God. St. Augustine found it when he turned his back to the world and turned his eyes and heart towards God. St. Francis of Assisi, he did the same thing. None of these things really make me happy. Not my father's fine clothes, not the wealth that I can spend in entertaining my friends, not the parties, not my friends. None of these things leave me happy. I always want something more. I'm never content. It's never enough. My heart was made to love something without end, something that is perfect. And that something that is without end, that something that is perfect, is God. And once St. Francis of Assisi saw this, once he understood this, once he realized it, he did what any true lover would do. I don't care what it costs me, I want you. I'm willing to give my entire life, I'm willing to sacrifice everything. Now this money from my father, it disgusts me because it has distracted me from my true love. My friends that I once found such joy with, they're now a burden to me. They're a frustration to me because they were a distraction from my true love, which is God. All the parties, all the celebration, it was foolishness. And so now I renounce all them because it distracted me again from my true love. So I ask you to consider again what our Lord said in today's gospel. as he praises his Father because he has hidden the wisdom and the truth from the wise people of this world. But he has revealed it to the humble, to the little children, to those who would be a fool to this world. So I ask you, when you look at the life of St. Francis, or actually to the life of any of the saints, and you're tempted to say, oh, how foolish they were, how naive they were, how childish they were, recall these words of our Lord in today's gospel and realize that the saints were not fools, but were very wise. And that we are the true fools if we think them to be fools. We are the foolish ones who think we can find happiness in money. If we think we can find happiness in food and drink. If we think we can find happiness in clothing or fashions or buildings. We're even fools if we think we can find our happiness in other human beings. There's only one being that can make us truly happy, and that is God. And if we truly love God, we would be like St. Francis, indifferent to the things of this world. Our love would consider all these things to be not that important, not worth getting stressed out about, not staying up late at night worrying about them. To make them all become really matters of indifference, because there is only one thing that is important, and that is God. And when you truly love God, you will die to this world. You'll be willing to give whatever it takes to obtain that which you truly love. And I think we can't understand many of the saints is because we have not yet really loved as they have loved. And my prayer, my desire for every one of us is that we may see what St. Francis saw, that we may love what St. Francis loved, and we could understand that they were truly wise, St. Francis and all of the saints, and we could begin to love as they loved. We could begin to lift up our hearts and minds to God and say, I don't care what it costs me, Lord, just give me you. Let me be yours and for you to be mine. And I'm willing to give this love not only in sickness and in health, in rich and poverty, in the good and the bad. I'm willing to give it all up. I'm willing to give it all to you. I'm willing to, as St. Paul says, to be crucified to this world, to be crucified to this life, to become dead to this world and have this world dead to me. Only let me live for God. Only allow me to live in God. Only allow me to live forever. That, I believe, is true wisdom. And this is what God is calling us all to. Let us see, St. Francis has done it. Our patron saints have done it. Now it is our turn. It is our turn to see how good God is, to develop a true love, a true desire for this goodness, and to not count anything as a cost, as a burden, but to consider it a privilege to sacrifice whatever God may ask us to sacrifice to obtain this eternal goodness. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.